Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Radio family, welcome and good morning. Another weekend edition of Community Focus. Get started here on our intercom stations. Thanking you for great company as always, Saturday and Sunday mornings. And of course, for me, Renee Vaughn, always great company with members of our Community Focus family. She is definitely that and then some. As I say good morning to you, Tina Carson Wilkins.
Hey, Renee.
Happy weekend. How have you been?
I'm doing great.
Wonderful, wonderful. We've been enjoying this lovely warm weather, which... Let's just leave it there. You know, the fact that it may be going back to winter, at least we got word that spring will be coming early. Yeah. So we'll take that and run with it. But always a pleasure to have you here on our public affairs show. And of course, many of our radio family know you with the Winston-Salem Transit Authority. So thank you so much for the continuation, especially in updating us on the I-40 project.
Oh, yeah.
Which today, that's not going to be the topic of discussion. We have something really exciting that we want to share with our listeners to especially get them prepared to make a trip, shall we say. So let's not keep them in suspense, as our topic of discussion is going to be about, and this is very appropriate, especially as it is Black History Month. And of course, it goes beyond just Black history because every day is history.
Exactly.
But what a wonderful opportunity to learn from you about the Safe Bus Company exhibit at the North Carolina Transportation Museum in Spencer, North Carolina. Now, first of all, I didn't even know there was a transportation museum.
Really?
I didn't in all the years that I've lived here. So it is going to be a treat for me to learn about this today as well. So, Tina, let's get our conversation started this morning. Now, many of our listeners of a seasoned age, shall we say, are likely familiar with the Safe Bus Company. Yes. Let's talk about the history. It operated for some 46 years in the Twin Cities of Winston-Salem. How did they even get started?
Well, back in the 1920s, well, in the early part, of Winston and Salem, they had not too long incorporated as Winston and Salem.
Right, exactly.
Okay, so anyway, that was in 1914, I think, but there was a gentleman by the name of E.E. Richardson who had his own construction company. R.J. Reynolds had just opened their factories, and this gentleman got a contract from R.J. Reynolds in order to, you know, get his employees to come in and take part in building what R.J. Reynolds, their empire, for lack of a better term.
Right.
Anyway, so Mr. Richardson, in an effort to make sure his employees got to work on time, used his own T-Model Ford to get his employees to work. That was a popular thing for African-Americans to do way back in the day. And so it eventually evolved into Ralph and Harvey Morgan after they had come back from World War One. All of the soldiers were being transported in jitney buses over there. So when they came back to the community in, they grew up in, which was Columbia Terrace, in Winston-Salem, they started a jitney service. That particular feat was duplicated many times by about 22 African-American gentlemen in the East Winston community. Because you see, at that time, Duke Power and Southern Public Utilities were the only transit systems or transportation available for people in Winston-Salem. And unfortunately, they did not travel in East Winston at all.
At all. Now, if we can just backtrack a little bit for those who may be unfamiliar with that term jitney.
Okay. A jitney was a vehicle that looked like a bus, but it was not huge. It wasn't the size of buses that we have these days.
Right.
It might have been the size of a very large SUV that operates today.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Gotcha.
And so, yeah. And so it was an empty vehicle with benches set up in it. And so that's how soldiers were taken all around the place during war and in other times. And so because the Morgans and others wanted to be able to make that money to have a business of their own when they got back, everybody then started wanting to do it. But the problem is East Winston was only so big.
Right, exactly.
And so, and so all of the gentlemen had their own locations that they would pick up passengers. But if someone picked up passengers that, I guess, belonged to someone else, it was a bad time.
Right.
And so the mayor of Winston-Salem at the time, Thomas Barber, let all of the jitney owners know if, the complaints didn't calm down and if they couldn't work together, then he was going to stop it and not allow them to operate a business at all.
Wow.
Because people were calling for jitneys at 1, 2, 3 o'clock
in the morning.
Right.
So imagine trying to do that
And then it was 2 and 3 jitneys showing up. And
exactly.
So, people just, it was all not a pretty sight. So anyway, in 1926 in April, Mr. C.T. Woodland, who was a businessman who owned a jitney service.
Okay.
Oh, he operated a jitney service. He suggested to the other 21 owners let's have a meeting. Let's get together. So at the old Lincoln Theater, which, by the way, was one of the four movie theaters operated by African-Americans in Winston-Salem at that time. But they chose to go to the Lincoln Theater. People showed up. I think it was 22 gentlemen showed up, and out of the 22, 13 were serious enough to take their life savings, put it together, capitalize it at $100,000, and they started the Safe Bus Company.
Wow, and literally the rest is history. And speaking of, Tina, you know your stuff. And we were just talking about this before we went on the air, how you are a history buff.
I'm a history nut. I'm a nerd. I love it.
That's okay. I love the fact that this really is such rich history.
Yeah.
A lot of things about Winston-Salem, whether, a person was born or raised here or has been living here for an extended period of time, it's always wonderful to be able to really reach deep into the history of the city. And I like the fact, because many, for the younger ones who are listening that are from, the area, there was a time when it wasn't Winston-Salem as one major city.
Right.
You had Winston and then you had Salem.
Right.
Of course, you had Salem as reference to Old Salem, part of that. And then Winston, of course, was the tobacco empire of so many years ago. But that is really amazing about that history. Now, where did their employees for the Safe Bus Company come from?
Oh, hey, and this was the beautiful part about it. The owners had many of their family members to sign on as bus operators and other employees, mechanics and whatnot.
Right.
But they reached out throughout the entire South to pull people in from Alabama, Mississippi. I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
They just left what they were doing and then came to Winston-Salem because they heard about the Safe Bus Company and they wanted to be able to work.
Excellent. I'm just trying to envision that migration, especially the deeper south you went. and to come into an area, you know, such as Winston-Salem or coming into the area where, and I'm thinking this is long before we had computers.
Absolutely.
Everything that we did with, not to say that we don't do it now, but to do it, what's the word I'm looking for? We did it with really I just lost my train of thought. But anyway, just to say that things were done by hand.
Yeah.
Things were done with our brains.
Yeah.
From an analytical, that's the word that I'm looking for.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, word of mouth.
That too, yeah. Exactly.
Helped a lot of people come to this area so that they can get a job because it was solid.
Right.
So now they started on June 1st, 1926, but by 1935, they had 65 employees.
Wow.
And their payroll was thousands of dollars per year. I mean, the operators dressed in uniforms that you would think were those for motorcycle cops.
Wow.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fantastic.
Exactly.
So learning, and I must admit, I took on this history of Safe Bus Company because I was in graduate school at North Carolina A&T State University, Aggie Pride.
Yes.
And I needed a subject. And there was nothing available, really, on the Safe Bus Company. So I had to dig and scrape, but it was worth it because
absolutely.
It gave me a sense of so much pride. I used to use Safe Bus Company when I was a kid.
Wow.
I know I'm dating myself, but that's okay. You know, when I was a kid, my mom would let us ride downtown with her.
And you think about all the great memories that brings back.
Yeah, and so I had no idea the history was so
exactly.
Much. Yeah,
exactly. And that's the one thing, a similar situation that when my family originally from the area, but you know, when I had a chance to move back here, because even though I wasn't born here, I still, when I came back, and I'm still here,
right?
And just love learning about the history of Winston-Salem. Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
So amazing. Well, Tina, I think I have time for one more question. In fact, well, wait a minute. No, let's hold it. Let me hold that question for the second half. In fact, we'll have plenty of time to really get into more information about the Safe Bus Company exhibit at the North Carolina Transportation Museum in Spencer, North Carolina. Well, Tina, this is a great way to jumpstart Community Focus. So thank you for this history lesson. Every day is Black History.
Yes, it is.
And thank you, radio family, for your great company. Indeed, we'll be back right after the break. Much more of the weekend edition of Community Focus right after this. And it's more of the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you, radio family. Great company from the beginning of our public affairs show. If you're just joining us, you're right on time as well. As I, Renee Vaughn, appreciate your company and that of members of our Community Focus family. Definitely the case with our continued conversation. Tina Carson Wilkins of the Winston-Salem Transit Authority, or WISTA, is really giving us a history lesson and then some. Thank you for that, Tina. We continue with the Safe Bus Company exhibit. Now, this is going to be at the North Carolina Transportation Museum in Spencer, North Carolina. Tina's going to give us all the details on how you can get your family, your friends, your coworkers, your groups together and to go and visit. But Tina, getting back to the history of the Safe Bus Company, which we mentioned operated for 46 years in Winston-Salem, what was the fare like? Now, I can only imagine, because of course, here in 2019, everything is above the cost that we would like to be. Everything's expensive. But can you just imagine how much a fare would be to get on
a bus then?
A
whole nickel, if you can.
Wow.
5 cents.
Yes. Well, when you compound inflation and all of that compared. Wow, just a nickel. But imagine what that one nickel could do.
I was going to say that. You would be shocked in how these gentlemen who came together really built a foundation for public transportation like no other, because it was the only public transportation system privately owned wow. of its kind in the world. Okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Can you imagine that coming out of a little southern town?
Exactly.
Yeah. But those gentlemen were able to, I think in 1936 and 37, it was difficult because that was during the time of the Depression. But right. yet they were forced in 37 to retire 60% of their fleet. Wow. And they had to go out and buy $11,000 worth of vehicles at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a loan. It took them 4 years to pay
wow.
that. Can you believe 4 years?
I know, 4 years of
pay. I know, because what I'm telling folks is you compare what the money is today,
exactly.
versus what it was during
right.
those years.
Exactly.
And it's a really, really big deal.
It is. It is. Now, how did they figure out where their routes were going to travel?
A lot of them used the routes that they had traveled when they had their own jitney service.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, they put together a system that people, when people were asking for the service to come into their neighborhoods.
Right.
One of the most important routes that operated, that was under operation with Safe Bus Company is Carver School.
Okay.
Carver School Road.
Yes.
Because, you know, it was a lot of folks out there along that area because, you know, Carver School was for the kids who came from the country,
mm-hmm.
and then Atkins was for the kids who were city dwellers.
Right,
and so,
right.
You know, those two routes in particular, and believe it or not, those are two of the most important routes that we still have.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because
yeah.
you know, you factor in, you have Carver High School there.
Yes.
Of course. And just the fact, Tina, that I really love and appreciate was it's probably one of the oldest predominantly African-American
Absolutely.
Neighborhoods.
Yes. That and Atkins, as a matter of fact, Ralph Morgan, when they came out with their fleet of buses, they had a fleet of 42
mm-hmm.
buses, the jitneys that they had all come together with.
Right.
They used to park their buses at night
okay.
across the street
mm-hmm.
From Mr. Morgan's home. But eventually they settled on the parking lot at Atkins High School.
Wow.
As
wow.
where they would park their buses.
Absolutely.
At night.
So I can just imagine all the Atkins and Carver graduates
yeah.
who may be listening now, which, by the way, Carver High School class of 1988, to all my classmates listening this morning. But again, just wonderful history. Now, when Safe Bus was operating, who was their competition at the time?
Their competition initially up mm-hmm. until about 1954 was the Duke Power Company.
Okay.
Yeah, Duke Power operated in 80% of the city of Winston-Salem,
mm-hmm.
yet they were not able to turn a profit.
Oh.
They didn't even become a motor coach, which means all buses.
Right.
They didn't even become a motor coach company until around 1936.
Okay.
They used to operate the electric trolleys
mm-hmm.
on a north, south, east, west line. But African Americans
yeah.
had to ride on the back of those trolleys. They didn't come into East Winston,
mm-hmm.
so the passengers would have to make their way to the Duke Power Company pickups
right.
and jump on board those trolleys there.
Wow.
So when they became a company that operated nothing but buses,
mm-hmm.
it was the same thing.
Yeah.
African Americans would have to ride on the back,
yeah.
of the buses. But, and one of the things that I truly appreciate about Safe Bus from 1926
mm-hmm.
Up until 29 years later
right.
when Rosa Parks took her steps
mm-hmm.
to help push the civil rights.
Right.
I think our folks in Winston-Salem never had to ride the back of the bus,
That's
a Safe Bus.
I was
so, yeah, it was really, you know, heartwarming. And the Southern Public Utilities Company that started with some buses,
mm-hmm.
African Americans couldn't use that system at all
right.
because they only had one door.
Wow.
Which was at the front
of the
bus. So, you know, we couldn't ride those anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, what kind of fleet did Safe Bus have?
They had T-model Fords. Okay, that people use as jitneys. And so the jitneys that they had all bought is, you know, was the makeup of the fleet.
Okay.
You know.
Very good. the weekend edition of Community Focus. Thank you, Radio Family, for your great company and joining us here on our intercom stations Saturday and Sunday mornings. Love getting the word out and talking about good things taking place in our communities. Definitely good people. And Tina Carson Wilkins. Again, information on the Safe Bus Company exhibit at the North Carolina Transportation Museum in Spencer, North Carolina. Now, Tina, my next question, how did the company end up having to provide transportation for the entire city compared to just, you know, East Winston?
Yeah, well, as I said, up until 54, Duke Power was in charge of transporting 80% of the city. But Twin City Coach Lines out of Jacksonville, Florida, took over and decided to operate in the same communities that Duke Power had operated.
Right.
Never could make a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And so when their employees went on a 10-month strike, that ended their ability to provide transportation.
Okay.
Okay, so a lot of the passengers who had become used to using their service needed to be able to get to work.
Exactly.
And so the city of Winston-Salem required Safe Bus Company to go on and expand and provide service for the entire city versus just East Winston.
Wow, that is fascinating. Now, just as an aside question, Tina, when we think about, of course, transportation nowadays and, you know, the work schedule for any given individual just vastly varies. It's so different. How early in the day do you recall that Safe Bus would be able to pick up its passengers who perhaps needed to be at work?
Well, from the information that I've been able to gather, they started as early as 5 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just like most people do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They started as early as 5 o'clock in the morning and ran until about midnight.
Okay.
Yeah. They even ran 7 days a week at one point.
Wow.
And when they realized that it was not much of a demand, but this was after the expansion, after they realized it wasn't much of a demand, then they just cut back the days.
Right.
But yeah, they were operating. They even used to provide charters for WSSU students and fans to be able to go to games out of town.
Nice.
Yeah. So they were their history and their engagement with the local community was fantastic.
Absolutely. And it makes me think of how important transportation was for many in our community then, just as much as is important now.
Yes.
Because when, you know, you look at, one, I think about the options, you know, even for individuals who do have a car and drive from work, you know, day to day, how nice it is to, if you want to leave the car, you know, at home.
Yes.
Just as with now, with with modern day WISTA, having that the ability, and especially with so many of the routes that now exist.
Exactly.
What a wonderful way that if you just sit back and you reflect, this all came from the early days of the Safe Bus Company.
Right. It was the legitimate system of the illegitimate system of segregation.
Right.
So it was born out of segregation, but the demise of the company came from integration, if you can believe that.
Yeah, very true. And I was thinking as well, Tina, long before, especially with the massive amount of cars that exist today, you know, there were a lot of families that didn't have an automobile.
Right.
And that was their main source of transportation.
And that was the main goal for people once they got into the 60s.
Exactly.
Yeah, and 70s.
Right,
they wanted
right.
an automobile of their own.
Yes. Well, speaking of WISTA and Safe Bus, that worked out so nicely. How did the Winston-Salem Transit Authority score the Safe Bus that is on exhibit in Spencer?
Oh, I feel so blessed to be able to know the answer to that, because I was working at the Transit Authority one day, and we had a general manager by the name of Nedra Woodyett, and it came to her out of the blue to just get one of the old buses back. There was one that was available. It was in a bus junkyard in Winston-Salem.
Really?
And so she went and made it happen. They got the bus. they looked at the old logos mm-hmm. and the coloring for Safe Bus, all of right. the old branding that they had. And it was reproduced completely. It was it was an expensive project, but it's been so worth it because we get questions all the time from groups and from different events mm-hmm. asking for the bus to be on site.
Oh, beautiful.
But you know, but it's like a treasure to
absolutely. And I think really so, Tina, for our young ones, this generation. For kids to see, you know, what parents and grandparents and great-grandparents used to ride and what they relied on as their everyday transportation.
Yes.
There you go. Now, do you use it on the road in Winston very often?
Well, no. The only time we'll pull it out for people to get a chance to board it mm-hmm. and even spend time on it with family is for the Juneteenth celebration that the city of Winston-Salem is a part of each year.
Mm-hmm.
We get calls, and forgive me for calling them out, Cheryl Harry and Norma Corley always call us and ask, can we have the bus this year for Juneteenth?
Right.
And so for the past few years, we'll drive it over. I mean, can you imagine a 50-year-old bus on the road? We'll drive it over to wherever the event's going to be held, and we'll put it on display there.
That is beautiful.
Yeah, although we have had it at the Transportation Museum. It was several years ago.
Okay. Yeah. That is great, especially in being able to maintain or keep up the maintenance on the bus after so many years.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, it's just the nostalgia of seeing up close and personal a piece of history. It really is. Now, what can someone expect, Tina, if they go to Spencer to see the bus? How will the story be told?
Well, currently the bus is on display in Spencer mm-hmm. at the Transportation Museum, and there is a video that the museum plays during the time that the bus is down there. So anytime someone comes up, the video is looped, mm-hmm. so it plays constantly.
Oh, great.
But on March 2nd, I will be one of the folks who will be there to talk about Safe Bus, answer any questions,
excellent.
And give the history.
Right.
We're expecting school groups from all over the state to come and learn about what goes on at the Transportation Museum, as well as pieces of African-American history.
That's
so
fantastic.
Not only will Safe Bus be there,
right.
but a representative of the Tuskegee Airmen and some of their equipment.
Oh,
they have an exhibit called Rise Up,
mm-hmm.
and so they will be on site on that day as well.
That's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about having a transportation museum, Tina, it's nice when, you know, our kids are in the classroom learning about history, mm-hmm. but to make that literal field trip and to see it up close and personal.
Yeah. To feel it, touch
exactly,
it, sit on it.
Exactly. Yeah. I can just imagine the looks, because this is how I was when, you know, you and I were that age and we were taking field trips and like everything is just so, you know, well, first of all, a lot of kids are like, oh, that's just so old.
Yeah.
But it may be old, but you just don't know how much history is attached to
it. Renee, it's a 1969 GMC bus that was purchased at a cost of $27,000.
Wow.
I just can't get over it. You can't buy a bus for that now.
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that. Now, in terms of size, if you compared it to, say, a Wista bus, would it be about the same in size or perhaps one slightly a little bit bigger than the other?
It's a 30-foot bus.
Okay.
But it's nowhere near as big
as what you see now.
As what we have now.
Yeah. Oh, one other thing too, Tina, as far as now, for those who have never been able to, for whatever reason, they've never ventured to Spencer, North Carolina, how far is it typically from?
It's about a 40-minute drive from Winston-Salem.
Okay.
It's on the other side of Salisbury, North Carolina.
Very good.
And I will say for parents and other folks who did not know about the Transportation Museum, every Christmas they offer up the Polar Express for kids, for families to come down and enjoy a ride on a train for Christmas. It's just a treasure in the center of The City of Spencer.
Wow.
Period.
Now, is it similar to the movie, or have you seen the movie, Polar Express?
I've seen it, but they create that type of atmosphere
exactly
for Christmas, but it's a good chance for people to go down and enjoy with
And
your
I mean,
family.
You know, it's obviously a big difference from what you see in a movie to actually being there.
I mean, it's mostly trains, but they have old cars.
Right, right.
They have old cabs. They have every old trucks.
Yeah.
So if you're into vehicles at all.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're a vehicle enthusiast.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And you like history from that perspective, that's great.
Right.
Now, will any WISTA employees be there to tell the Save Bus story live in addition to
That will be me.
Yeah.
But we're also going to have a couple of other folks down there just in case there are questions that I cannot address because as we're hoping that not only along with the school children, that there will be people from the City of Winston-Salem, the Piedmont Triad, period, who want to come down and enjoy the exhibit as well.
Exactly. So this would be an ideal time, Tina, especially for any educators or teachers who are listening.
Yes.
And you are wondering what to do with the kids in planning that field trip, this would be absolutely perfect.
Yes, especially if they're trying to talk about transportation.
Exactly.
Period.
Exactly. And really, too, Tina, and this is probably something a lot of times you really don't necessarily think about, at least I don't, and this just crossed my mind, because usually when we think about that as our kids, whatever they decide that they want to do in life, many, it's like they want to play sports, they want to be a musician, they want to study the sciences. But what a great opportunity for that one individual that says, you know what, I may want to work and be a future, you know, driver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I will say I consider being a bus operator the second hardest job in America. And I'm serious about the first hardest job is that being a law enforcement officer. But it's stressful, but you get an opportunity to make so many friends.
Absolutely.
And if you enjoy service to your community
that would be an ideal thing. Right.
Yes.
And I also think, too, Tina, of occupation such as that, how much you get to see on a daily basis just traveling around town.
Yeah. And even though some of the service, you know, the bus service is fixed route, which means they stay on the same route.
Yeah.
You meet so many different
kinds
of people.
You really do.
Yeah, you do.
And, you know, this is the one thing, because I'm only giggling a little bit, because when you typically think of just driving in your car, of course, your eyes need to be fixed on where you need to go. But for me, this is just a little fascination of when I'm not driving.
Yes.
How much of
you
the
can
scenery
see.
I can see. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So to help another individual do that and to really learn more about the city is a fascinating thing.
Well, we normally say when people are new to the community,
that's
an excellent way to learn your way around.
I like that. Absolutely. I love that. Now, if someone wanted to take a group to the Transportation Museum, what's the cost?
Actually, the exhibit for Black History Month, there's no cost for that.
Very nice.
Yeah. Just come on down. Get yourself a parking space and come on over to the area that we're going to have the bus park. We're going to be inside.
Yes.
And so folks will be able to come in and just look at all of the old vehicles.
Excellent.
And then come on into where we are.
Fantastic.
We'll be sectioned away.
Now, one thing I wanted to share with our listeners, Tina, and we were talking about this a little bit before we got on air, is the fact that, first of all, Radio Family, they can also visit you on Facebook.
Oh, yeah. They can visit our Facebook page, Winston-Salem Transit Authority, WISTA Bus, and pull up some of the information that we have on there, because we talk about the history, and most importantly to me, we have some old photographs that are priceless.
I love looking at old pictures.
They are priceless.
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to change those pictures out every week. So people can get an idea of what the operation really looked
Absolutely.
Like.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the beautiful thing about that, to Tina and Radio Family, is that you get to literally see the face of Safe Bus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
These very talented men, black men, who really brought about a sense of pride to the city of Winston-Salem.
And provided a service that took care of a need that was really desperate for a lot of people.
Very, very true. Yeah. Very true. Well, Tina, I have enjoyed this history lesson. This has been fantastic. Now, just as another aside, and likely will this be, in case you can't answer this here directly on the program, what are the museum hours, or can they find them?
No, they may have to just go online, Google it, North Carolina Transportation Museum, because I'm not sure of
the
hours.
That's not a problem.
But our exhibit, our presentation, will be on March 2nd from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Okay, fantastic.
And so I know they open early.
Yes.
But
it'll be worth the trip. And I mean, just 40 minutes from Winston is not bad at all. Tina, any closing thoughts or comments?
Well, even though I have not, you know, even begun to touch on these great men who put this historic company together, let me say they were some of the most forward thinkers that I can even imagine. And for people who want to learn about what the company was, what they did, and how they did it, you know, I'm more than happy to send out information to folks, or more than happy to invite groups to have me come out and talk about it. I have a great presentation that I am really proud to show anybody at any time. But I just thank you so much for giving me the chance to talk about something that's really, really close to my heart.
And thank you, Tina, for in your busy schedule, my dear, for always making the time for me. I really appreciate it. I so thank you. We have known each other for a very long time. But every time we get together, Tina, I just enjoy, because this really is, I feel, information that just for you and I, who have either grown up or have lived in Winston-Salem, you know, it's such, not to say that sometimes Winston gets a bad rap, only from the perspective of, you know, for people who live outside the area, well, there's nothing to do in Winston. It's so boring, and you'd be surprised.
Yeah.
And really to emphasize for those who may be listening to this public affairs show, you're relatively new to the area, whether you're here as a college student or you're here as a retiree or just a person that's really sort of settled down in the area, and you want to get to learn a little bit more about Winston-Salem, I just encourage you, radio family, visit downtown. Visit the Winston-Salem Transit Authority. I mean, there's history within that in itself.
We have information on Clark Campbell, who drove for 63 years.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we'd love to have him. I always tell people it's really important. You won't know where you're going unless you know where you have been.
Absolutely.
And folks in Winston-Salem need to learn about who we are, where we were, and where we're going now, because we've got some great things in store.
Absolutely. And what a beautiful way to bring to a close another weekend edition of Community Focus. Tina Carson Wilkins, tell the family I said hello.
I will.
Thank you so much. Until that next time, my dear. No goodbyes on the program. And likewise, thank you, family, for your great company and the good things you're doing in our communities. Please keep up the great work. And indeed, until that next time, thank you very much for listening to another weekend edition of Community Focus. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of this weekend. Take care.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver.
Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.